time. And I want to thank Kavish Gachaprotis and Kalalosh and Adam, the Avish himself, for letting me sit and talk here with you, Chavra. I have a ball. The boy said, I love this stuff. I want to tell you something. Listen to this. I just got off the phone with somebody. And this happens very often. And this is a complicated, you know, a lot of stuff going on. This happens every day. Well, I have this problem. I don't make fun of people's problems because I understand them. Oh, boy, do I understand them. I know that. I know where they're coming from. This problem, that problem. Now, the next, if I get you on the rebound. Okay, that problem's taken care of. But what about that thing? That's not so fast. Okay, that's taken care of, but what about that? It's never ending. I say, if you're into problems, it's called Mayim Meluchim. You can keep drinking salty water. You're going nowhere. You're just so. The truth is, when I tell people Eitzes, there is such a thing as people listening to me. There's such a bria. But most people prefer, just give me one bua and leave me alone. They don't say that to me. I say it to them. And they're pleasantly surprised. Because they are ready to unravel to me a Megillah Tov Shemayim of Pekach and Torahs. And you know what else I have? Did you know what I'm going through? All right. If you would only know. And then I have this too. And they have that. So I tell them, I'm going to sit and talk to them until Mashiach. I say, watch my bracha work. And I'm dead serious. I mean it. I give a bracha. Next time I call them, how do you feel? Totally different. This happens every single day. Totally different. Since your bracha. You're right. It's a different ball game. Listen to my latest mitzvah. The Rebbe's mitzvah. Rabbi said, keep the Rebbe's going to tell over his own mitzvah. This is the only Rebbe that, the main part of, got to hear my own mitzvah. Here it goes. I was given a phone call last week or so by somebody who's a chayil masukah. He's in ICU. He's going like Hashem Yirach. And I'm encouraging, a little better. Oh, yes, and this and that. I don't even know. I can't keep up with all these things. I have one after another like this. You know, the minig Yisrael is, one of the latest minig in Klal Yisrael is, just before you say vidui, call Mandel. I heard they put me in the vidui booklets. Put Mandel. Before you start this, give Mandel a call. Watch what happens. Potter, listen to this one. This is fresh off the press. It just happened last night. So things are getting better. And I'm so happy. And suddenly, the doctor called all the family members. Now what do we do? When the doctor calls all the family members, you know what that means. It means say goodbye. It's all over. So what do? I never, ever, ever throw in the towel. Not me. Danish can cop. Tell the doctor to hang himself. Danish can cop. This guy's healthy. He's happy. He's gesund. Don't bother me with this. You're complicating my life. He's getting better and better. That's it. No. I do want to tell you. When you talk like that, you're making a mitzvah of having betachon. It's a mitzvah. Forget the. It's going to work. It's not going to. Forget that stuff. You're getting a mitzvah of being. So the power of a mitzvah is not even really. Of the greatest mitzvah in the world. It's awful. Now, that's what I left them off. Believe me, when I got a call last night, I didn't expect what I got. Guess what? The patient improved very much. How do you like that one? A fafamon. I never give in. How do you like that? They say the ancient Spartans. You know Sparta? Sparta, that's part of, what is that? Is that Greece or Rome? You heard of Sparta? Whatever they say, the Romans, the Amalek, the Romans. It's Rome, whatever. They were proud soldiers. And a Roman never surrendered. That's their... that's their pride. They were tough soldiers, even if surrounded by the enemy. We are not giving in. We don't do that stuff. We always come out ahead. That's a sheet that had by Rome, I believe. So, I work like that with Yiddishkeit. I never, ever, ever give up. I'm not interested in that stuff. First of all, I get a mitzvah. Not giving up is a mitzvah. It's easy to give up. Let's all give up and let's start crying and sit on the floor and kvetch and have pity on ourselves. You see, it didn't work as usual. I'm always messing up and everything I do is no good. And I have a bad muzzle, and since I'm born, I'm like that. And since my sister used to tease me, it's all her fault. And then my parents, if you would only know what I'm going through. Okay, everybody's got his, I don't want to make fun of people's peklach. But when I say ridiculous peklach, if you have your seichel, you'll stag from hearing that. You have to make them ludicrous in your eyes. Ludicrous. That person I just spoke to, I made them laugh. First of all, I laugh at the world. Lach was dreist up. What's going to happen? What are you afraid of? You're going to die? So die. What's wrong with that? You know what it makes with the Arab. Not mat. You know, he's standing on the roof. He was almost falling off and pulling up a dud shemesh. And he yelled at him, Atamat! You know, in Arabic, dying is called mat. So the guy looks down because he's more in the street than he's on the mic over there, on the fence. And 8 floors up in the air. And he's supposed to pull up a dud shemesh. And he's bending all the way into the street. And he's 8 floors. So the guy yells at him, Mat, you're a dead dog. What are you doing? So the Arab yells back, Mat, so what? So you die. So what are you getting so much sugar for? So you die. I mean, what's the big spiel? So I believe in that stuff. In that area, I go like the Arabs. So you die. Is was stopping. What's the schlacht? Stopping. Yeah, I'll tell you a true story.
They did this by the war. This Bachem that this book I gave the Rebbe.
Yeah.
He told me you're dead anyway. And they shied, not shied.
But they shied.
Told you dead anyway, so they weren't busy about dying. They weren't.
Oh yeah. I remember that. It was good stuff. Beautiful book, by the way. Anyway, Rabbi Yodman has a book. Those who never yielded, Polish, Magera, see them. They fought the Nazis. They did crazy. His long beard. The guy about to show was the leader over there. He walked around with a long beard and back and forth. That's Navarri, by the way. It's the same school. And they faffed on all the Germans. They couldn't care less. A long beard like this. And he didn't care. And he got away with it. He said, we're dead anyway, so who cares? I heard Reb Gershon used to say things like that. We're dead anyway, so what? So let's chaperon some mitzvahs. Let's faff them on a little more. Let's daven even though it's dangerous. Who cares? Okay, anyway. But what was I saying? So you die, right? So I'm going to tell you a story with... I forgot who it was with. Somebody had, I guess, anyway, from, there's a truth, there's a story with from a story where somebody was not afraid of death and just so died. So what? And he survived. He said, so die. You're not so impressed with so you die. As well. Anyway. There was a Chevroman, I won't say his name, who said, was in a campaign. He was in the Watergate scandal, he was the one person who was not afraid of Chief Justice Earl Warren, his name was, right? Those days, the Watergate scandal, when President Nixon was somewhat impeached, the accomplices were all thrown into jail one after another, and they spent their life, their careers were ruined, and there was one person who was a Chevroman, who was raised to be, his mother was a Roman, was from that, Esav's Einikol, who taught him that you got to be tough. And he, by nature, was dafka, not tough. And that wasn't the thing to do where he came from. So he worked on himself. He did the following. First of all, he's petrified. He lived in a port city, and big boats used to come, and whenever he saw a big boat, he used to faint. He was terrified. He was a frightened little boy. He couldn't handle it. So one day, he decided, I'm going to fight. And the next time a boat came, he stood up like this, and he watched the boat come closer and closer, and he didn't budge. Okay, Mr. Boat, you're not starting up with me. I'm tough. Because his mother taught him, you got to be tough, tough, tough. Shut. Came tough. In the middle of the night, he climbs up a tree. There's lightning. He was horrified of lightning. He went with sugar. Rain, lightning, a storm. So Gafka went up in a tree in his backyard, and he stood there to face the lightning. And his father came and said, "What are you doing here?" He wouldn't tell his father what he was. "What are you doing here?" So he smiled to himself, and he wouldn't say. And he went down, and he says, "I did another one." And he did a lot of weird things. I mean, Ashegetz. But he decided to eat Asheretz, because he's so afraid of the Asheretz. Not a baby-sized Asheretz. I don't want to talk about it. Too. So he decided, "I'm eating it." He did crazy. He once burned his finger. He once did it in the office where he was working in front of. He told the secretary, "Oh, you want to see me burn myself? Watch this." He lit a fire, and his finger started burning, and he didn't do a thing. He didn't bat an eyelash. Now, this is koiches hanefesh. The truth is, anybody could do it. We're not on such a campaign to do these things, but I want to tell you that there's a reason I'm telling it to you. You're going to hear soon. I'm not just telling stories. It's kedai to hear this. I'll tell you what else the guy did. Once he was at a meeting, and the guy stormed. He says, "I'm going to put the tires out of so-and-so." He disappeared, and he took the tires. He was just kidding, the boss. He came back, and okay, did the job. "What'd you do?" "I took the tires." "I didn't mean anything, you know." "Oh, I thought you meant it." He was a real chevrman. He went to a school where they take you, and the dafka went to a high school, I don't remember, where they dafka chepa. The younger guys, he went there, and he was all prepared. So he put scotch tape on his hands. And he put thumbtacks, and he knew they were going to attack him in the middle of the night. The new kids, they used to chepa. They used to punch him and everything. So he was waiting for them. And then as soon as he started attacking him, he lifted his hands, and they went boom. And they got bloody all over the place. Then he joined the FBI, and he learned how to kill people with a pencil, a stick under all different, with a pen, how to do this and how to do that. He learned how to shoot a gun. He's like, "Well, not emissary, you know, like his mother's dreams. You should be a tough Spartan." He lived by a story that his mother once told him, that the Spartans, they would die. A story of a guy, a cat, I can't discuss it, that he died, a Misa Mashuna, but he didn't open his mouth, he didn't say anything, and by him, that was his Gan Eden to become such a person. And he became, when he was convicted in the Watergate scandal, and he, first of all, he decided to park himself in one of those dangerous places in the United States, Washington State, I believe, for a certain part of it was crazy dangerous. And he decided, "I'm going there, in that prison there." No, not the prison. He went to, what, an apartment there, where in the middle of the night, you better watch it, because they killed people in the streets. It's one of those real gang schwarzes all over the place. Dangerous guys, the lowest of the low. So he pulled, that's for me. A big black guy banging at his door, 2-3 in the morning. And he says, "Oh, this is what I'm waiting for." He opens the door, he takes out the gun, and tells the schwarzer, "Hello, how are you feeling?" The schwarzer looks at him, "What is this?" "Well, they say you got to be careful in these streets, so watch yourself, okay? I have something here for you." He did these shtick. He was a real chevrman. When the Watergate scandal happened, so there was, in all the newspapers, there was signs of everybody pointing fingers. "You did it, you did it." Every guy, they were low. I mean, all the people that fell in, they were spies for the President Nixon had a bunch of spies to spy on the Democrats, because he was very insecure. He had lost the election, and his past wasn't easy. Rather, he was an excellent president at that point, but he was afraid the next time he's going to lose. So he had to make a whole spy mice at the place called Watergate, where the Democrats have a hangout over there. And he sent the spies, and he got impeached thanks that whole scandal there. You go spying in Yenna. It was the end. So Bekitsa, so all the guys who were convicted, they used to, they were crying and begging. We didn't mean it, but it was his fault and his fault. And he, when he came to his turn, he says, yeah, I'm guilty. Which jail do you want to send me? And he was waiting for the worst jail in the country, which is, and Chief Justice was infuriated at him. The guy didn't seem to care. He says, no, that's exactly what I want. That jail with all the guys there, they're ready to kill you. Although that's to me, Kizera Eva Kadesh. This is my Gan Eden. This is my dream, And he went there. And as he was going to the jail, he convicted, went to the jail, and he said, on the way, he heard people crying, never what's happening to him. And he said, they were crying, and I was in Gan Eden. This is just what I want, to be in such a matzah. And he went to that jail, and he told his experiences. He had a blast, where the murderers, the guy in the bed on top of you was a reitzeach. The guy in the next cell was another reitzeach. And this guy was a perverted meshugana. All those kind of weirdos. And he was a fish in water. This is my life. This is my Gan Eden. I don't know what became of him. I don't want to say his name. But he was this is true stuff. I told all these stories over to Rabbi Gedalia Shemer, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He was an Elta Bacha Pelish Yidl, who he used to learn in Lakewood. He never got married. He survived the war, but he never got married. He was sweet. The Yolam loved him. Atamot Chacham and Edelkeit. He was from Galicia. I used to schmooze with him about what Yidin used to be like. He used to tell me about the Midas Tavis of the Rizhin Echsidim. He remembers how sweet those Amalek Rizhin Echsidim, the way he once opened the Gemara, and the Rizhin Echsidim told him, come, let's try this together. And the way this talk was such Zizkeit, Edelkeit. I'll show you a picture of Amalek Yidin, what they looked like, with two of them. One's listening to the other, with these two Chassidish guys, the long coats, wearing the, like these type of hats. And one's looking at the other one, and the other one's smiling to him. The Zizkeit, Amalek Yidin, those sweet. We're God's fine, by the way. So, let's not, but I've seen things lately. I'm Taka M, flying high. A Ben Tyre, a Lakewood of Ben Tyre. Come on. There's no one better in the universe. And see them? Oh, they're delicious, these people. All of them. As far as them, all of them, they're all delicious. All of them. Anyway. But he,
we're the best, no?
What?
We're the best.
That's push it. And whoever's listening to Patach, to this, we're all the best. And Yen is also the best. Okay. We're all the best. Anyway, so the thing is like this. What happened? I told him about this. I used to ask him about Nevada, because he knew Nevada. He lived in Stanislav, Kolomai. If anybody knows what's going on in Galicia, he was from those two cities. One was a bigger one, a smaller one. He said when the war broke out, there was a big, big yeshiva that closed instantly when the Nazis came. There was a Nevada yeshiva that did not close. It was a smaller one, but they didn't close. Oh, no, not us. We're staying open. This is Nevada. And he explained to me what Nevada was. And I told him stories about this person. He says, that person was Nevada. Like I said about Trump. He's the first Geisha Nevada guy. I'm joking. But he definitely has a certain, whatever. How, there were 22 people for that seat, the last election that he won. When he won, there were 22 people, all more qualified than Trump, and Trump got in. How did that happen? Because Trump pocks the world. He does what he wants. He laughs at everybody, and he makes it. That's the answer. So he has a certain whatever. Now, the Vardigas did learn. They believed in picking up things from the business world big time. LaMushel, a businessman, does not, a real big businessman, big tycoon, these big knockers who deal with millions, they have no time to eat or to sleep. That's what Nevada is looking for. That's us. Just like the Sreichim Agdalim, it says that by those who show him, says you learn, it says you're never like this big businessman, but the Bardigas took that through and through. Every day they used to discuss, like the stock market, the bourgeois was called, the Bardigas. Every day, after Bilam Musa for half an hour, they would get together, I saw this in France, and they start schmoozing with each other, how's business? I mean, your cost issue is getting better, how's the COVID issue, this, how's your learning? And, you know, they put Kaisis, Mamish, to look for aces, just like in business. They held like that. They tutor for wealth. Anyway, so he told me that this is Mamish, what Navardik used to do, just like this fellow. Olam Haba, you don't get for doing things like this, for wanting to be a tough guy. When a year does it, L'shem Shemayim, to work at himself. That's Mamish what Navardik was. Rabbi said, you want to be happy, do what you don't want to do. That will make you a new person. That will take away all your fears and all your people destroy themselves because they must have, listen to the story. You have to have you this, and you have to have you that, and you're uncomfortable if you don't. But if you're living among people that all they talk about is, what can we do next with Kavod Shemayim, different than what we want to do. The mice were in a prodigy. He was in a house at nighttime. I want you to read about this. Middle of the night, he discovered the husband was supposed to come home. It never happened, whatever. Yichud. He jumped out of the house in his pajamas. I added that to make it more exciting. But I don't know if he was in pajamas or not. All I know is it was freezing Russian weather. And the Vardiger was happy to be outside. Yes, I'm out. Freezing Russian weather. I love this. And he probably had in the back of his mind, I would tell this to my Rosh Chabad. Guess what I did today? Rosh Chabad would pat him on the shoulder. That we like. He went against your teva. There were Geshen that once saw him walking around, and they asked him, Geshen, Mata Rabbeinu, Mata Mechapes, what are you looking for? Ani Mechapes, Shvirut Amidot. I'm looking for opportunities to go against my midas. He loved it. He was oozing with simcha 24/7. How do you get like that? What kills you, simcha? You want some, and you're not getting it. Your whole life is full of that stuff. Ruch means gash means. It doesn't matter. Your mind is constantly wanting and not getting, and that kills you. And people want, they want. And we say, they're looking, I'm looking to give my life for the apes. You know what the ultimate Radek said? Yom Kiva said when he was, they were raking him by Masreikah Shel Barzel. The Romans were tearing his flesh and torturing him to death. They asked Rabbeinu, what is? They asked his Talmidim, asked Rabbi Kiva, look what's going on. Rabbi Kiva said, my whole life I'm waiting for this. When can I be Mekayim B'chol Nafshecha? Every time he said Christmas, he said, when can I gather it? And now I'm getting it. This is Gan Eden. Rabbi Kiva loved it. Now look, I'm just talking in the loft, not in the loft. One of these days it's going to happen. Because when you keep talking, sooner or later, things start happening. I would like to be ma'ir the olam. The real simcha comes from not doing what you want to do and developing a taste for it. Develop a taste. Look, you know there's a Kabbalah. I saw this. And Aruch HaShulchan brings it down. All those Jews that were thrown into the fire of Kiddush Hashem about 2,000 years ago. About the time of Rashi HaKodesh. And those few hundred years, Crusades, that Kufa, they felt no pain. You know that? What? Who? Marmara Rottenberg, there you go. They didn't feel the pain. There's a mighty body guy, they hung him on the gate of the city all night. They hung him there. And he escaped. They asked him, how did it go? He said, I didn't feel nothing. Am I right? So one of the stories, I felt nothing. It was great. He was hanging from his chvesfas. They were trying to torture him. Rabbi Kiva, I don't know. But that kufa, it's Yidua. They didn't feel, I've read this all over the place. It's Yidua b'Gezach. They didn't feel any pain. Now, what's pshat? I don't know. But I'm talking the Vardigas. Definitely did not have, that's Yidua. They used to get caught, and they used to get tortured. And when they got tortured, the guys who tortured them, the Russians, they said, we wish we could have soldiers like this, because the Vardigas took them to the wall. They were steel. They were mamish steel. They were trained. I was sitting next to Pinchas Menachem Malach. That's all. He was a Geret Navardig, a sweet, like, his face used to shine. He used to speak 200 Sama Hasidim in Baruch Park. He used to ask him to speak for them regularly. He spoke, he came in with his lungs were not, you know, his whole body was, he had to carry, for, you know, he had an amach, he had to get the zachem. And he used to come into Beis Medrash to learn by some other rabbi. In his later years, together with a big pole with, I don't know, intravenous. He wasn't regular, you know, and it didn't bother him. He waited. Oh, it's cold out? That's great. Cold. Let's go. You know the famous Meisa? I think it was Rav Kahn, the one who started Gates and Yeshiva. He was a Nevadiga. He's got a very Masudic, crazy Masudic. Now they say, I believe it was him. There was a Nevadiga, it's a famous story. Nevadiga came to get money for Nevadiga and he went all the way to, Vilna. I saw the house of Rav Chaim Meisa. I was there. And he went there. That was a place. They loved Rav Chaim Meisa. He was our father. Yisroel Lalansky gave us a tour. We were in a bus. A whole bunch of Musanikis got together for a trip. Rabbi Sol Salanta, they were unveiling his Matseva in Kenigsberg. In the meantime, they took a tour to see Valozhin, to see Kelm. I was in Kelm. To see Kovna, to see Vilna. See, Rotten, I saw all these places. I was there. No, you're thinking at all. Anyway, what was I saying? So the one who was speaking, he had our bus, Yisroel Orlansky in Avardiga. The way he spoke, the warmth, the way he spoke, Rav Chaim Meisa, as the Kaveno the Tata. He was the Tata. Of all the yeshiva guys, they love Rav Chaim Meisa. He was a father. The way he talked was such a vamkai. Not a vamkai. Anyway, so what was I saying about the, They went to, yes, so he comes collecting. And he comes to the door. Now, on the way, it started pouring. So he kept going. 3 days and three nights, the water went coming down, a storm, and Nevadiga, it's no problem in my books. And Nevadiga, that's great. I put the shoes, shoes. But the choke, Nevadigas don't have normal stuff. They're not interested. They want it. I told you what happened as soon as I bought my new hat. My stress skyrocketed. My old hat, which looked disgusting, I used to put on my head. Now I went outside. I don't care what weather. Have a seat. And as soon as I got my new hat, the nice new hat. Uh-oh. No, I didn't hold it right. No. So the Vardigas weren't interested in, you know. They were, let's have a good time in life. So I didn't care what they wore. Gay, day, and cop. And I'm not telling that. Oilam, please, don't do that. Please, I'm just telling historical records. I'm not advising the Olam to do the things I'm saying. However, when we're when we get together, we may decide to do certain things, depending where we're up to. It's shtick chiyas, these things. Anyway, so he came in soaking, standing on Chaim Meisa's doorstep. And Chaim Meisa took one look at him and he said, Dus keno zayna navadige. Only Navardi could do this. Stop him. What's the rain? So what? Go. So it's cold. So it's going to kill you. Now, this is my own experience. I got to be no Dorish, no Mekain. I've had enough criticism. It's still eating me up. The criticism I got. You want to give me that bottle over there? Now, for all those people that are complaining, and they're telling me, Mendel says he drinks, and all of a sudden drinking, and they call me up, Mandel, we're watching you in Torah anytime. Call my secho, the safe in the tub. Torah anytime is watching you. And you're talking all day about Jack Daniels with your butt. We've been watching those bottles for weeks. You guys don't drink to save your lives. Nothing's out, by the way. There are two Jack Daniels bottles. They're not even here. They're empty. So don't say that about me. I'm still very upset. that the Yelim should be chayshid need that I don't drink. How could they say that? Anyway, see, we're doing okay, so I want everybody to see. This bourbon is moving. And in fact, we're almost empty. So we just got a bottle courtesy of a chash of a yid, new bottle of wine. We're okay. We drink, chas v'shalom. But I don't want to be caught being ainin derish noamakayim. You know, they call me a hypocrite. You say you drink and you don't drink. You're a hypocrite. You're not derish v'ainamakayim. It's not right. Right? Okay. So now I want to tell you something about the cold. Ask anybody, and like, is my wife, never. Well, my wife has to go through. She married me. You know, I tell the whole olam goes around saying all day that, but having a wife like mine, ain't a raya p'nei Gehenna. You know, Chazal say you got an isha raw, ain't a raya p'nei Gehenna. And I say, maybe your wife also has a ha'ara. Maybe being married to you, she's not going to see Gehenna. She's able to live with you. She's a chashuva lady. He's able to live. Anyway, I'm just joking. Anyway, where am I up to? Right? The cold. For 4 years. For sure, 4 years, maybe more. I did not use a coat in the freezing winter days. I just didn't use it. And my wife used to look at me funny. And I'm not using it. Leave me alone. I'm not using a coat. And just like today, bitter cold, you know, the real thing. I didn't use it. First of all, like daven. You daven, your body will work. It's going to work. I don't know why I did it, but that's what I did. Oh, I'll tell you why. I used to lose my coat. I was notorious. I lost my coat anyway. So until I get a new one. In one winter, I went through four coats. By the end of the winter, I was up to the fourth coat. In fact, lately, the reason why I suddenly, you know, everybody has different mahalos in his life patterns. I get more, my brain works better as I get older. I have a different mahalach. I forget less. I'm serious. I'm not joking. I made a decision one day. I'm going to go the other way. Because age is all in the cup anyway. It's all what they tell you. As soon as you hear somebody say, you know, when you get older, you forget. You are going to start forgetting because you heard that from him. Just like the lady that told me, people your age, COVID, like, they very bad. As soon as I came home, I couldn't move for 4 hours. True story. The power of suggestion, you really keep telling me, getting older before. Yeah, soon you'll be in a walker, about a year or two. You're getting there, you have to walk, and soon, pretty soon you won't be able to taste food. I mean, that's the age, you know. You have to accept life as it is, you know. People, you listen to that, go for it. You like it? Enjoy old age. And you should be able to, I'd say, your life expectancy, don't expect to hang around much longer, 2-3 years. Say goodbye, you know, look, that's life, you know. To have you ordered a mausoleum, no, what are you ordered? A gravestone? And that's, you know, you have to be practical, you know. There's a little truth over there, but anyway, I don't get so into that stuff. I believe you're as young as you want to be. Dalton Vadik said, if not for my beard, I wouldn't know I'm old. The Alta said that. He once told his Talmud, when do you get old? When does that happen? He was simply not into that sugya. That's where he was fresh till the end. You know, Rabban also was fresh till the end. Rabban Kutler. He was Lebedek till the end. Nothing. These people are... We have to make our own chabur and go to war against that garbage. Or make an island and move. The Nabadik is used to move to the forest and make their own... Their own island. That's what they did. You learn, if we would get together, it's our shita. You know, Goyim Lahavdil were able to do these things. You know, people step on hot coals. There's a guy in LA that gets people, don't ask me what he does. He gets people to step on hot coals to stay there, and they're fine. How? I don't know. Like Mackenzie Khan and Edmund Cup. You know, these Far Eastern chevre, they sit on nails, they do weird stuff. They're happy, you know. What do you mean?
Like, what topic to focus on that would help a person be artistic?
I don't know. I know that the Vardigas sat on this. There's a lot of Torah Shabbat Peh. Chabad has a lot of that stuff too. No suffering about it. The Chassidim and Bechlal are a little bit in. The active ones, those with Ruach. If you have fire, you don't feel the weather. You're making $1 million. What weather? They saved my life because I'm a big mafunik. By nature, I'm a terrible mafunak. I'm very... So, the kids, I come to France and suddenly I can't move. I used to get all these psychosomatic stuff. Real or not real, who knows? And I just couldn't move. I don't have any kayak. So they told me one word. Oh, you don't have kaya. I can't. I'm getting old. This is about 30 years ago. I'm getting old. You know, I really felt I'm old. And then my foot was hurting. I went up. We had a double deckers over there. We went to a Beis Abdida's place, a whole winter resort. That's what they do with the bodies. And going up, and I remember the pain I had going up the rungs of the, it was a double decker bed. And I said, oh, son, I'm already like, you know, going 30 years ago, I was very old at that point. And that channel out, and I'm serious, that's how I felt. So they got home, the Vardiga saved my life. They said, oh, you're getting old, yeah? Mm-hmm. There's $1,000 when it's freezing outside. You can't move. There's $1,000 check waiting for you in the office, 3 blocks down. Let's see how you feel. And watch you go running. They proved it to me. It's all in your cup. If you're on fire, you don't have pain. You're in a different world. You don't worry so much what he's saying and this saying. Who has time for this? Now I want to tell you my story. Today to hear the story. I spoke about death. So die. I had to tell this. I say this to people once. So many people who are full of fears and fears and fears all over the place. And they suffer all their lives. I have a lot of people like this. And I understand them. There are people calling me. I told one of them, you're one of my favorite customers because I know where you're coming from. This person has some type of a juvenile diabetes, Rahman al-Atlan. The face turns purple. Then migraine headaches. And there's 10 of them. Or Bali Guzba. 8, 10 different real serious stuff going on, and there's so much, and this person's going to show you. So I told the person, I said, you know, your problem is you should be running a maisid, or you should be building yeshivas all over the world. You wouldn't have time for this garbage. Stus. I called him maisid Shabbos. I says, oh, you have a pre-diabetic? Go eat chocolate cookies. Go! Yes, amaya achrayas. Maisid Shabbos, I call up. I had a new person in front of me. It's in your head. Even if it's real. A friend of mine's mother, she was left at 93, I was at the Levaya. He told me himself, she had diabetes, 30 years before she was left at Berach. And she, for 10 years, she had to take this, do that. Finally, one day she said, she was like a Yekisha type of lady. I've had enough of that stuff. I'm not interested in spending my life, can't eat this, can't eat this, none of that. She started fressing pizza, all cold over Asa. She fressed. She lived to 93. The son told it to me. Because her mind, she's, I don't believe, yeah, diabetes, don't bother me. She had a bittle against doctors. If you have a bittle against the system, you can do it. But if you're nechtas, tachas, kanfei, the system, that's the way it works. So that's the way taka gotta work. The more you believe, and that's the matzav, that's going to be the matzav. This I heard in the Vardig, about 20 people were yet in machla. 10 people were told you got 2 weeks to live. They had the exact same matzah. And 10 people were told you got many months to live. All those people that were told you got 2 weeks to live were dead in 2 weeks. And all those people were told you got many months to live, they were around and around and around. I heard this, and the body lives on that stuff. They believe it's out and cup and cup and cup. The more you talk about corona, talk about it all day long. He got it and he got it. Before you turn around, you like to talk about it, go ask for trouble. Sometimes you have to. I'm not going to start up with all these. There's different types around. I'm not going to bite. I'm going to lose half my customers. Yeah, I'm rather a little bit, more than a little bit liberal about this, but I respect people who do the Shem Shemaim. Some people talk and make it. I don't want to get involved in that, but that's for sure. Getting overly, to talk about Yisa B'Yom and B'Laila about COVID-19, no good. That's for sure no good. and believing. First of all, I don't believe, you're not allowed to believe that the mask does anything. You have to believe I'm doing Ishtadlus. And the mitzvah of Ishtadlus is going to help me. The Avishta, what do you, this, you do this and this shot, this, this. This I will tell you. Everybody knew about this. Everybody talked about it. I didn't make it up. That when the flu shots were given out, they said, all the people who took the shots, they were the only ones who got the flu. I'm serious. It was you do. Everyone was, it was a joke. You're scared all day, you're asking for trouble. Stop being scared, bug off. Relax. Enjoy life on Brace.com. Now I do have to speak to a lot of people who are petrified of all different things. People have hard use and they have what to be titled. A lot of people in the younger years, different things happen to them. It's just that now it comes out in late days. I heard this. I'll tell you. From a Rebbetzin, she is the Helixed of Rebbetzin. She's about 10 years older than me. She was crying her heart out to me about her younger years, how they knocked her too much. It doesn't fly away. You're used to it, aren't you? Until today, she says. So, sometimes it could die to say that. It might make you matchstick things you do. You won't be mashing yourself so much because of your background. You're talking not. You can't knock so much. But I prefer keeping away. I prefer to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and enjoy life. Let's have a good time. It's Brace.com. They once did this. Right now, I'm at the top of the world. Don't bother me. I'm going to tell you a story about death. This is a story, there's a sefer called Ashgafta Devei Rav. Devei Rebbe, Devei Rav, you know who that is? The Rashab, Reb Shalom Ber, who was the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe's father, who was very close with the Alter von Lubavitch. They spent 4 hours together, the whole world talked about what went on between those two. It was very good. It was good. The Chaim Brisker, the Rashab was a gain and a tzaddik. He was a heilige mensch. The kids. Anyway, so what happened? So he got together. He was alone. The Rashab was alone with the Alter. Okay. Now it was Purim, and something happened on Purim in Chabad. What happened? Those days, they didn't have what they had in 7-7. Those days, the whole Chabad was a house, and that was it. The dining room of the Rashab, he had a dining room, and the Chassidim came in at 50. I don't know how many they had. It wasn't even that. I don't know. Couldn't have been too much of a Chassidim those days. I don't know. But anyway, what did he do? He's sitting there in his dining room, and he's sitting there in his dining room, and suddenly the KGB decides to pay them a visit. Those days it was called the NKVD. NKVD is coming in. You know what that means? Siberia for the rest of your life! These people were ace of a Russia's Anaklos. And a KGB guy is coming. And he's a middle guy now. They get caught making a meeting together, collecting money. They had a whole plate collecting money for their meisters. Forget it. They'd be finished. Shem Yirachem. So as soon as the guy started coming in, Rashab, they told Rashab, he's coming into the house. Rashab started laughing. Rashab said, so I'm not scared of him. This house is so much kedusha. He can't do anything to this house. And he had a special room called the cabinet, where they used to have meetings, I believe. It was a heiliger room where they got together for the avodah. You know these pieces of Chabatsky Yidma, Rabbi Miller speaks about the greatness of the Russian Lubavitchers, what they gave their lives away for the Abish there. It wasn't Pashut, but they did that. And collecting money in front of, anyway. So his son was all nervous, the Mariatz. He was not the Rebbe then, he was his son. And he took a handkerchief and put it on top of the money that they had just collected. And he's shaking all over. And his father's laughing at him. He came into the house, KGB guy. and he's walking from room to room, and the place is, they're all shaking, and the Rebbe is laughing his head off. The Rebbe says, he's bottled. There's so much kedusha here, this man's bottled. And then he walked into the cabinet. Cabinet, they called it. The cabinet was a place where they had major meetings. It was a look at plot. He used to learn there a lot. A lot of Torah, a lot of whatever it was. So they told him, I gave some cabinet. He says, cabinet? He's buckle on the mutal some cabinet. Cabinet's a heiliger place. And sure enough, he took a step in. He walked out. He disappeared. They never saw him again. Okay. That was a nice thing. That night, it was on Purim that the story happened. That night, the Rashab started writing. He started asking certain svarim. He spent the whole night certain svarim. He was writing, so something was happening. Later on, a couple of months later, he was deathly ill. He was deathly young, the Rashab. He was deathly ill. Later on, they found that Purim night, he seemed to know he was going to go. Because all the svarim he asked for, that was the will that he wrote. It was a permit, whatever. And before you turn around, it got worse and worse. The doctor came, and he was in bed, holding on to him. And then his son, Mariatz, is watching his father. And suddenly, his father starts closing his eyes. And he realized it's over. And when he saw it's over, he started screaming. Tata, tata! That's something like this. I don't have the story in front of me. I had this thing. There's a sefer called Ashkafta Dei Rav. It's Kedai. It's a Murder the Kachachava. And tata, tata, you stop. His father's dying. It killed him. So he started screaming at his son. He was screaming. He's dying. His last words, he was screaming at his son. What exactly he said? He said, "Moshen, Moshen." I don't know these Kabbalistic terms. I don't know, but he was telling him off. What are you to spawn from? So I'm dying. Melamos. Melamos. I'm dying. So I'm going to die. Mela. The son. Father, why? You have to read up the story. It's Murder the Mice. So, stopping. You die. So what's the hell? I'm getting so. Stop it. We hope to live longer. Every minute of life is such a gift. It's such a matana. It's such a bracha. How can you complain every minute such a Gan Eden to being the Avish's delicious world? Let me tell you something. A young man comes over to me. Got to hear this one. This one's Kedai to hear. Oh, boys, it's Kedai to hear. A young man came over to me. He called me up from Australia 10 years ago. His wife is going berserk. They have a daughter who's not sneeze. And his wife is going out of her kelim. What's the matter with your wife? She's going berserk. She can't handle it. He described his wife like, after Rachel Imenu comes his wife, she was like nobody. Atznua, tzadekes. A love for Yiddishkeit. A woman who could stand 2 hours straight and daven on a regular basis and cry her heart out to the Eibishter. Whatever, something like that. And he's telling me that about his wife. And now the daughter is walking around with chutzpah and she's making fun of everything. And his wife is ice matched. So this is what I said. My dear friend, there's two dinim over here. Look, I advise people to hear this before they have issues. Listen to, I'm going to challenge the Torah world. There's what the Alta from the Bada calls Piske Balabatim, and then there's Das Torah. There's the Balabas's way of thinking, which unfortunately most of us are Balabatish. Very few people are really Torah. We're Balabatish, we're like simple people. I'll explain in a minute. First thing I said like this, this woman has to thank Hashem 2 billion times for being what she is. To be such a tzaddikus and such a dar, there's no end to the thankfulness. For being herself, she could have been like the daughter, the cool cat, who's wearing pants, I don't know what she's doing. She could have been like the daughter. And Delilah, she's a tzaddikus. Did she ever say thank you that she's a tzaddikus? Well, that's the way I am. What do you mean that's the way you are? My parents raised me. Hey, you know what a glick it is to be raised in such a matzav? And then you look at yourself. Look at your tzaddikus. Lady, where's the thank you for being a tzaddikus? Well, I'm not really such a tzaddikus. Oh, the old problem. Here we go again. Oh, you're an anav. Anava is the churban of the universe. I'm saying there's no suffering in my mind. The Altman Slobodkin is jumping in his grave with simcha that someone's saying the truth. Especially the Altman Slobodkin, who he put a campaign. All the Daily Show came out of Slobodkin because he hacked him up. You're great. Cut it out with this Anava. The Anava is a churban. What are you doing? So, I'm not really so good. Uh-huh. So just like you put yourself down, you're going to put your daughter down. Because it's the same halach. It's a, be negative. That's the ikka. Be negative. Anyway. So, first thing, you can't say this to the lady. I never said this to this lady. I didn't say it to her husband either. I'm just telling you, this is the answer to the problem that was given to me 10 years ago from an Australian yid. And this is what I have to say about it. Where's your thankfulness? You're not even into it. All you think about is your daughter, you go to sleep, the daughter. You get up, the daughter. I can't eat anymore because my daughter. I can't talk anymore. My daughter. Blah, blah, blah. Where with the fact that you're alive and well, no. What do you mean? You're moving. You ever say thank you? Okay, anyway. You can't knock people for what I'm saying now. I'm saying this. You cannot ever tell people the way I'm talking. It's disgusting. Leave alone. They didn't go to learn an Avodah. Leave this poor lady alone. Let her be what she is, and she'll get her Olam Haba without listening to Mandel. But if you want to be smart, before you have any problems, this is the right way to think. And you got to do this throughout your life. What you do have, you have to sit on it every day. You have to mush yourself. You know, I have a lot of successes every day. And they all go over my head. They all go over my head. Like it never happened. Someone came over to me, gave me a big shock. Oh, I smiled, but then I was just I didn't even hear that we're all like that. It's a churban. Thankfulness is mes mitzvah. It's a churban. The ligand is day and night. You gotta thank the Yiddishtik for every inch. Okay. So part one is you gotta thank. Now part two. There's a younger man. He has 10 sons who all went to Brisk, all got the best shidduchim. He has one daughter. Was a nasty little witch, a short girl who felt always shortchanged and chip on her shoulder, always hated her mother, loudmouth, and does things that are not Yiddish, and in front of guests, she opens up a big mouth and embarrasses the whole family, crushing her family. And the younger man comes over to me and he says, Mandel, by the way, this story I made up. The younger man comes over to me and tells me, Mandel, I have such a good life, but this daughter kills it. I have no life. I can't live with her. My wife and her are killing each other. And me, she doesn't talk to me. That's all the guy talks about. And you have ton. He says, yeah, my boys are big nachas. They all went to Brisk. They especially, you know, did my son marry? He got married to so-and-so's daughter, and this got married to, he got a rich shidduch, he got a nice shidduch. He's sitting learning 10 years after, 5 years after, he got learning about some other rabbits, he's got everything. This guy's gevaldik, that guy's gevaldik. But what should I do? This girl's gefella. Now listen to me, Rabbi Say. I'm gonna tell you das bala bias. We all do this. You wanna hear das teira? Moshe kapoye! But you have 10 nice sons. I'm very happy about it. But your glick of your life is that nasty little witch of a daughter. She is your nachas. Because she's the only one in the family that's going to force you to open up a sefer on kas, a sefer on bidalik hafschus, safer on learning how to be civil people that are different than you. A safer on bezyanus if people remark that you're not having nachas, you're on COVID, that you're up to, your holy, holy COVID is killing you. You mean this, you're born for your mean this, not for those 10 sons. Now look, don't listen to Mandel. How can you talk like that? I was both of my children. Alf is the kinder. I remember Rabbi Dishon, Zayn Gesundstock, he once spoke here in Lakewood. He was telling the Yerim to care more for the kids. What do we have if not our children, our children? And he's right. And you have to hear that shmooze. And I agree with him 1,000,000%. But now here comes my shmooze. My shmooze is a little different in age. And some people have to hear mine. Eluv, Eluv, there is a truth in all directions. But there is a campaign. A guy who's suffering for sure has to hear my shmooze. What do you do with this kid? And he's, so you have to horrify on your midas. And then you'll shteig. I think it was Rav Nekritz that they said he had a child who wasn't well. He said that my favorite child. Now you can shteig. Learn how to be calm even though he's screaming at you. Like, there's no fun. These guys all listen to whatever I do. There's no tech. You can't shteig. You can't become anything. I know a guy. You must have a nasty person in your life if you want to become anything. So a real Baal Musa would say just the opposite. I have a nice family, but my real nachas is that girl. That's the nachas of my life. Thanks to her, I worked at my kas for the first time in my life. My wife was no fun. She was too nice to me, so I couldn't. There was no witch next to me. You can't get your shteig with a nice lady. A nice lady, it's nice to have you, but lady, you're no fun. I was hoping when I first got married, you'd take a bat, put it over my head. You know, there's a famous Gera Meiser like that. The Gera Sidim, his name was Matasio Kozak. He wanted, his dream in life was getting his wife the witch, and he got her. And boy, did she do a job. There's a famous, the Gera Sidim, they grew up on this stuff. They understand breaking meters are in the same, they in Nevada get along very well. So my glick in my life is that child, or my wife is the glick in my life, the one who's, somebody gotta mess you up, the shved, the wife, or else, why, come on, you're wasting, what are you doing here? You have to break your midas. It's more important than anything else, it's to brechen the midas, and not to be the spoil, what your kid says, and to love the child, and turn the child around. You want to hear a true story? Tell you a true story. Somebody from England called me up. Terrible matzav. Have a boy who Yom Balayla Leishbeisu is looking at things you're not supposed to look at. And he asked me, what should I do? I says, there's a teenage kid. Yeah. He ain't gonna listen to words you say. No way. You don't start up with him. And he hates my wife. And he hates my, he's a gantz. And he doesn't daven. He doesn't learn. He doesn't nothing. I said, don't open your mouth ever. Your only connection with your boy is, would you like a chocolate bar? Here. That's all I have to do with him. I have a chocolate bar. Yes. Oh, I like that coat. That's cool. Don't discuss anything of his habits. He knows he's doing wrong. Don't bite around with him. The guy never opened his mouth. Never. The kid did things. He once took a peek. What's he looking at? I forbade him to tell his wife. You talk to your wife? Say nice stuff about him. Oh, isn't he good? And I told him, you tell when you're davening to the Eibishter, you're going to daven about him? Yes. You're going to say, all right, Eibishter, thank you so much. Such a masmid I have in my house. Such a masmid. He lives in learning. Such a ziskite. He's so... Yeah, this went on for months. He was in action. Once in a while, he davened the Eibishter. Fought, let's have it. Let's have it. May after fought, let's have an awful kid over here. But all the time, so good. People ask, oh, he's doing wonderful. Yes, oh, my son, my favorite. Oh, nachas, real nachas. Ah, I love him. And that's it. And the son also, he spoke like that. The son kept telling him, Ta, you know I have issues. Oh, cut the issue business. You don't have issues. You're a normal guy. Now, if the son's saying I have issues means we're ready to work, that's a different ball game. That's not called negative. That means a lamaisa is a lamaisa. You want to see a therapist. Like, that wasn't the case. The son just wanted to fetch a little bit and tease his father. What issues? You're fine. Oh, stop it. You're going to grow out of that. I know you. You're these. The son says, Ta, stop lying. All right, so don't bother me. So he doesn't say nothing to the son. But when he speaks to the Eibishter, Sadr Nachas. You know what happened to this kid? Slowly but surely, turning around. One day he sees him open up a Gemara, running for hours straight past mother. Oh, how did that happen? When the father's quiet, and he has been talking, and he doesn't get angry, all the bad midas. You know what kind of midas take place with parents and kids? Nakama, kas, gaiva, einas, dvorim. It's all, but you have to be mechanach. Yeah, you have to be mechanach. And while you're being mechanach, you know, someone told me, mitschlechta midas, you're not going to be mechanach anybody. By the way, I heard b'shem a big mashgiach that if you're going to be so particular to do it everything right, you may end up going nowhere. You will get a little angry here and there. Don't turn yourself into a bum. But basically, this works. I've seen Rabbeinu do a thing like this. Boy, did he have a turnaround in his family. Did everything turn around? He didn't say a word for a year. He had two boys that were, and they turned around and became Abayin, the biggest tachitim in the world. When I came to his, I lost all my respect in him. He doesn't take care of his kids. He opened his mouth. He was laughing. He was like oozing out. He was learning Betachim day and night. He could feel the Betachim. He told me years later, Tipeshes day. It's a stage. And keep saying it. You know, Shon Shodron once told somebody he had trouble with a teenage kid. I'm a mach for them garnished. Welt aus garnished. Say it's nothing. It becomes nothing. And you can do the same thing with your body. When you have pain in your foot, my Rabbeim told me that many times. It worked like a fiddle. It's nothing. Keep saying it's nothing. And before you turn around, oh, I once had, oh, so scary. Huh? God. The Stipler said this, that if he would have addressed all his aches and pains, he would have been in Yenavelt a long time ago. The doctor would have said, oh, you're right. And we got it. Once you sit on it and think about it all day and worry about it all day, it expands. It becomes real. It exists. Same thing with your problems. Talk about your problem all day. You got a problem. It's got to be there. But the Nasir Taz laughed at it, and it disappears. I said a murder about it. We had a sense of humor. Us religious Jews have a sense of humor. Starting from Avraham Avinu. Boy, was he funny, Avraham Avinu. He took, you know, the Chazal, where they were, where the idols in his father's store? And he said, oh, he put a bat into the biggest idol's hand, and then he said, you see, Ta. No, it was his fault. The father comes, Avraham, what did you do? You smashed all the idols. Ta. You see the big guy? The biggest idol? See, they gave him a bowl, they gave him a, you know, a big plate of food, and he wanted it for himself. So he, and all the other guys try to get it, and he smashed them all up. It's his fault. Todd, don't tell me. This is a chazal. Avraham Avinu was kidding around. Did he have a sense of humor? Yes or no? Did Eliezer Avraham, did he have a sense of humor when, you know, my super, he was in Sdaim, and the guy tells him, he was in Sdaim, and the guy at Sdaim, he throws a rock at Eliezer's head, and blood comes out, and he says, now you owe me $100 because I gave you blood. I caused you blood. So he said, what do you mean? And that's how it works in today. Oh, thank you so much. Look what's going on here. The Hayim. Out of the way. So in Stein, the minig is, I make blood come out of you. You pay me money. Oh, very interesting. You know, the other problem. We'll take care of it. So you want to bring me? Yes, you're coming to court. And he said, judge, what? Yes, you have to pay him money because he made you. Oh, judge, okay, just 1 second, judge. Eliezer says, he picks up a rock, throws it in the judge's head. Judge starts bleeding. Okay, judge, now you owe me, right? You go pay him. Then there's the other story where at the chasana, you know, whoever, if you invite someone at the chasana, you're dead. You're not allowed to invite someone at the chasana, right? Instead, you invite someone. So he sits down at the chasana, and a cop comes over, and he says, how'd you get here? He invited me. The guy runs away. The next time a cop comes, he invited me. They all run. And he invited me. But he saw you turn around, the place is empty. Eliezer Avraham locked the doors. He ate up all the food. But these are jokes.
didn't have a sense of humor? Sheres alalti b'mitzrayim. What was alalti Hashem? Yashiv Shmain Yitzchok. The Amish the laughs. Amish doesn't have a sense of humor. Come on. The story with, maybe Miriam comes running to a Basi's party. Oh, you need somebody to nurse? Oh, I have a lady. And pay her a nice buck. Jews know how to make money. Pay some money to the mother of little Maishala. And we'll work it out. No? You know what? Yeah, it's funny, Eliezer Abram. What did he do? And then the frogs with their smiles, the sinister smiles, laughing, aiming at Paray, going to his bike, and then talking to each other inside the bike. Jews are funny people. I mean, it's all over the Torah. Eliezer Abram is standing there by Har Carmel, and he says, Eliezer Abram says, there's no fire coming from Baal, you know. You know, there were two oxen. One Lashem, one Lashem. So he said, I got it. Let's see a fire come. Oh, how come it's not coming? Oh, your God's in the toilet. Oh. He's up often up sukkim. Let's lose often. We Jews are funny people. I brought Urias all over the place. It's time to laugh. Laugh the stupidity of Olam Hazeh, of Yetzhara. That's Hashem, David's over, bring back the Vadik, hold touch for the Hadra, I will live, when Mashiach said, Kainam, of every Yemenu,